Blog Talk Radio.
Continuing in the Elohim of the Blood Covenant, part 28. When we have finished, we will have covered probably 100% of the law, statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. As I got up this morning and was, going in to do some research on what the world thought, what the world thinks the new covenant is all about, I find that they really don't know. It is You know, some people think that the Most High wiped out, completely wiped out the old covenant and started over with a new one. Some believe that the old covenant, the new covenant only applies to Israel. And so the world is conflicted, and this is where all this division comes in. But, you know, I am of the mindset, and what the Most High has put on my heart is that the new, you know, when it says New Testament and it says New Covenant, that people think that they are different. So they don't really tie the New Testament to the Old Testament. They don't tie the New Covenant, the Old Covenant, to the New Covenant. It is a strange thing that how this world operates and thinks that it, you know, it doesn't make the distinction that when the Most High said a new covenant that he would give us, and then you don't see covenant in the New Testament but a couple of times. And it's strange that they translated New Testament, and you know, that's the word that they used, rather than New Covenant, because the Old Testament or the Old Covenant mentions covenant. So Torah mentions covenant, but when we get to the New, quote-unquote, Testament, it really should be translated New Covenant. And so to me, that has caused some confusion, and it has caused people to think that they're not related. And so it seems like there's a spirit behind this to cause confusion. So as I said, when they translated the word covenant as testament, a testimonial, it changes the understanding that this is, you know, this is the agreement that the Most High made with the people of Israel, and that he's creating a new one. Okay, now the difference here, a difference that I have in my understanding, then I don't see in a lot, I saw it only in one opinion, but the difference that I saw in what the Most High has me teaching and going over is that they're not really looking at the judgments of the Most High. And what I find is that all of them are making up their own judgments, and they're leaving it to mankind to make up their own judgments when it comes to the word of the Most High. And what do I mean by that? I think the biggest significance that I'm seeing, and then, you know, we'll start today off, but I wanted to premise with this. The Most High accuses Israel of not, you know, doing everything that he said to do. And the biggest part that they didn't do was his judgments. And when I'm reading all the different quote-unquote scholars, rabbis, which I, you know, here's my, and let me qualify this, because I believe in rabbis as being the same thing as a scholar, and not necessarily filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. These are people who, of their own scholarship, go in and read the scriptures and try to come up with a determination in what's being said. But the scriptures are very clear that without the Ruach HaKodesh, you cannot properly interpret the scriptures. It is the Most High himself that gives understanding. So when I say a rabbi or a scholar, you know, to me, they're one and the same. This is anybody who can read the scriptures, any person that can read scripture, and then try to discern or try to understand what's being said without the Ruach HaKodesh, without the Spirit of the Most High. Because he says, you know, holy men were inspired by the Ruach HaKodesh, by the Spirit of the Most High. And then based upon that inspiration and the Most High leading and guiding them and putting precept upon precept for them, then they were able to come to understanding. But without the Ruach, you read the scriptures, but you're not going to be able to come to a complete or the truth. I'll just put it that way. You won't be able to come to truth. You know, everybody can read and decipher words and come up with facts. Facts. But they won't be able to arrange them in the correct order. They won't be able to properly discern them. And so that's the biggest difference. So when I'm looking at all these people and their understandings that they're coming to, what I'm seeing is a lack of the Ruach. You know, because even you know, like I said, Jewish rabbis, quote-unquote rabbis, scholars, one of the things that you never hear them say is that they were influenced by the Spirit of the Most High. These are just men that grew up studying the law and never were converted. When I say converted, you know, they're trying to keep the law and they're keeping the traditions, but they never got filled with the Spirit of the Most High. And that is crucial to anything that is done in this word. To, you know, it's not us that are supposed to come to the understanding, but it's by the inspiration of the Most High, by Him giving us clarity in the scriptures so that we understand based upon His understanding, based upon His intent. So I don't see that when I go to any of the old rabbis, when I go to any of the old scholars, any of the modern scholars. It's just somebody that's like, it's like any person that says, okay, I'm going to go to school for this. And they become, you know, an authority in this based upon their own study and the study of other men. But the truth of the matter is, the thing that is missing is the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of the Most High, and them being filled with it. Well, I need to stop saying it because it... being filled with the Spirit of the Most High, He Himself, okay? I find it offensive when I say it in reference to the Ruach. Makes it impersonal, and I really need to get away from that, for real, for real. Anyway, so as I'm reading, as I said, as I'm reading their understandings and their interpretations, what is clearly coming out to me is that... they stay away from the judgments of the Most High. And, you know, the Most High said, if you will obey my voice, my statutes, my commandments, and my judgments, don't come up with your own. And this is what, in all the interpretations, you know, for the Noahide laws, those laws that are in Torah, the Mosaic law, they're coming up with mankind coming up with his own judgments, and not based upon the judgments of the Most High. And so, and this is the main thing that the Most High accuses mankind of, is, you know, disregarding his judgments, establishing our righteousness over his. And that's a problem. That's a big problem. So, you know, they're trying to leave it up to mankind to govern himself using the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, but where the Most High has already judged that. This is my judgment in this area. They have cast those to the side. They have cast them down, or they have modified them. And that is not a good thing. You know, so... I see, you know, doing the research and just seeing where other quote-unquote authorities are supposed to be on these matters, it is very clear that they have disregarded the judgments of the Most High. So we'll take your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, and then we will use them to develop our own standards. We will use them to develop our own judgments. And we will disregard what you say. Because your penalties for certain things are too high. This is what I'm seeing. They're too high. We don't want to carry them out. We don't think they're just. So your judgments are not just as what it's coming down to. That's a problem. And so I see where all the contention is coming from. And I see where the Most High is saying he's going to judge. You know, they can do what they want to do. But the truth of the matter is, when he returns, he's going to judge based upon his standards and his judgments and not those of man. So it is the lack of the Ruach and the lack of the ability or the willingness to obey the Most High in all things. Man has taken the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High and developed his own standard and said, this is what we're willing to enforce. This is what we're willing to do. Contrary to what the Most High says. So I'm like, wow. You know, wow. It amazes me. It really does. That this is what men do and what they teach. And if you don't go and look and then ask the Most High, you may think that this is what the Most High has said, but it's not what he has said. So, you know, we want to continue in this vein. We want to understand that the old covenant and the new covenant are one and the same with some modifications. With some modifications to the law of sacrifice, with some modifications to whether we were to go outside to the other nations, with some modifications concerning how one is saved. But very little modification what it comes down to. And so, you know, the world is not trying to accept the old covenant and the old requirements in the old covenant as part of the new covenant. They want to have every nation make up, you know, what this includes, every religious order making up what this covenant includes. And so then we have man making his own standards. Man making his own agreement when the Most High, I don't see anywhere in the scriptures where the Most High asks man, what do you want? What do you want to do? I don't see him ever approaching man that way. I don't care what you read. When the Most High gives a commandment, it is a commandment. He don't ever give suggestions. I suggest that you act this way. It's never a suggestion. It never leaves it to the believers. It never leaves it to the believer to make up their own mind concerning whether they should do it or not. Whether they should have to do it or not. Let me put it that way. Never ever does that. So for man to turn around and take the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High and come up with their own standard based upon what, you know, what we can accept and what we cannot accept, that is straight up just disobedience, flat out just disobedience, and making up their own God. And you want to know who that God is? Themselves. They are their own gods. But they're saying that they're believing in the Most High. So I found it interesting, and I'm going to, you know, do a further study because those are the doctrines that I need to be able to defend against. The Most High will give me what I need. But to defend against them, because this is the bottom line, They have taken the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High and come up with their own judgments. And that's the biggest difference. Now, when we go to court, and I'll just put it this way and then we'll get started. When you go to court and the judge renders a verdict, you can appeal the verdict, okay? And there's a higher court. If you think that you have been, that you didn't receive justice. But when you're dealing with the Most High, He is the highest judge there is. You can't appeal beyond Him. And this is what mankind has done. They have placed themselves above the Most High. And so even in the natural order of things, you got your local court, then you got your state court, then you got your federal court, then you got the Supreme Court. And whatever the Supreme Court decides in the land, that is the law of the land. That is the verdict on that thing. That's what becomes law. That's what becomes how it is interpreted. But then when you have the Supreme Being, the Most High, power and authority, that has said, this is my judgment on this thing, then it should be the law of the land. You can't appeal above that. You can't change that. The only one who is able to change that is the Most High Himself. He said, because there is no higher authority than me. So when mankind comes down and says, hey, we don't agree with your judgments, then they are basically saying, we're going to be disobedient and we're not going to follow through with what you have said. We will do it our own way. So I, want to stay away from that. I want to stay away from that mentality. If we serve the true and living Elohim, the true and living God, then He has to be the highest authority. There is no appeal beyond Him, and even mankind cannot supersede what He says. Can't undo what He has already judged on. And this is what man has done. Okay, that's my rant for this morning, so that when we are reading the covenant and when we come into the New Testament, understanding that the New Testament or the New Covenant is the old covenant with some modifications to it that the Most High Himself caused to be changed for this period, for this dispensation, for this time of grace that He is offering to mankind. And that's what it is. And that's, I think people get this word grace, they get it confused. The Most High says, I'm like giving you a period of time to come back to me correctly. And that's His grace. So we got a grace period. And now I'm going to allow you to come back and get right with me according to my standards, not according to yours, but according to mine. And this is what I want for you to do. And somehow man has flipped that around. Man has flipped that around to where it is his own judgments that he wants to implement that he thinks are more humane than the Most High's. But the Most High is looking for a certain type of people. And those that don't meet his standards will not enter in. So it doesn't matter what man says. What we have to look at and see, what does the Most High say? And is what we're doing countermanding what he says? Is what we're doing making what the Most High say null and void, and we are implementing our own standard? That is the problem. So that being said, happy Sabbath. Good morning. We greet you whether you're in North America, South America, on the internet in general, whether you're on the North American continent, the continent of Africa, Europe, whether you're on Pal Talk, Blog Talk, in your car, at home, wherever you may be listening at. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved. the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ in the English. Excuse me, I have a cold that I'm trying to get rid of. Better today than I was yesterday. That being said, let us do our statement of faith. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on this morning. Thank him for his manifold blessings. Thank him for just allowing you to be conscious and cognitive of him, because there is a lot of people who don't even have that. Thank him for allowing you to worship him in spirit and in truth. Thank him for just keeping you through the night. There are so many things to thank the Most High for. We could never, ever cover them all. So let's just thank him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. We lift you up, Father. We magnify your name, and we extol thee, for you are Elohim. You are power upon power. You are the highest power there is, and there is none above you, Father. And hallelujah, Father, we just thank you for your righteous judgments. We thank you for giving us your commandments. We thank you for your statutes. Hallelujah, for they, by them shall a man or a person live a righteous life. By them do we meet your requirements, Father. We will not diverge from them, Father, but we will live according to your word. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and hallelujah. It is your righteousness that we seek out, Father. Hallelujah. And it's to bring you glory, Father, not for us to obtain glory, but for you to obtain glory for this purpose, for your pleasure, what we created, Father. And Father, we just want to bring you pleasure. We want to be pleasing in your eyes. We thank you, Father, for giving us a mind to serve and worship you. For truly, you are worthy of all worship and all praise and all adoration, you and you alone. We thank you for keeping us, Father. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 Father. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah. 10,000 praises to you, Yah, our Elohim. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim as we go before him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people, Israel, have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent of our sins and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that you have walked contrary to us. And, Father, we are repenting of our wicked ways. And we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony, that this is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them. Give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, and to obey your judgments. We pray for Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you call a Messiah, that they would come and that they would convert and that they would truly become your children by being filled with your Holy Spirit. Now, Father, we ask that you would deliver us from this captivity. We look for the day of your return, Father, in the day that you would regather us and all that are obedient, that you would say, enter in, and all that are rebellious, that you would destroy by the word of your mouth. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray, amen and amen. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8, starting in verse 46. And let's make this personal. So I'll read it, and I pray that you would go in your Bibles to this, and as I read it, so you can see what I'm doing, and so that is, you know, that you don't think that I'm changing up the scriptures, but we want to make this personal to each individual, okay? Because when we read the scriptures, we have to make them personal. They have to apply to us and not be in general or to a general group, but it applies to me individually. If I sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with me, and deliver me to the enemy, so that they carry me away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves, or if I shall bethink myself in the land whither I was carried captive, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried me captive, saying, I have sinned and have done perversely, I have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all my heart and with all my soul in the land of my enemies, which led me away captive, and pray unto thee toward my land, which thou gavest unto my fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I, or Solomon, has built for thy name. Then hear thou my prayer and my supplication in heaven thy dwelling place, and maintain my cause, and forgive me that have sinned against thee, and all my transgressions wherein I have transgressed against thee, and give me compassion before them who carried me captive, that they may have compassion on me. For I be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be opened unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication and unto my supplication. Now, it's saying the people of Israel, but we're making this personal this morning, to hearken unto me in all that I call for unto thee. For thou didst separate me from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses, thy servant, when thou broughtest my fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. When we read the scriptures, even though we know this is talking about a people, but if the Most High has identified you and told you that you are these people, then you need to make it personal so that you know it applies to you. Because sometimes I believe we are so generalized that we don't take the scriptures personal. that this personally applies to me. Okay. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let me hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is my whole duty. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Again, personalizing it. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. And I'm going to personalize this as well. Now, therefore, if I will obey your voice indeed and keep your commandments, then I shall be a peculiar treasure unto Elohim above all people. For all the earth is Elohim's. And I shall be unto him a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak unto the children of Israel, if we obey his voice. Then we shall be a kingdom of priests. This is, every person has to make this decision for themselves and has to do it to make this self-fulfilling in their lives. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other Elohims which you have not known. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. It is the Shabbat, and in all his feast days and his Sabbaths, his new moons, we are to blow the shofar.
I wanna be close to you. I lift my hands in prayer. Somebody lift those hands. Praise is who I am. I will praise him while I can. I'll bless him at all times. And I vow to praise you through the good and the bad. My testimony in all that I go through. Somebody said why. I said because praise is what I do. Somebody lift up your voice in this place. Oh!
are the fire. We are the temple. You are the voice. We are your song. You are our God. We are your people. You are the light. We stand in awe.
Things are, you know they come from the Father.
Cause that's not where my blessings are, nor they come from the Father's heart, not the sky, not chance, but truth.
Pray that you were blessed on this morning by the song. It is, you know, the word is the most important thing, but I truly enjoy and need praise and worship as part of my life. And I can't sing. It's not the gift that the Most High gave me. Nevertheless, I can't wait to hear that heavenly chorus as it gives praise to the Most High. You know, we think that mankind can praise. But think about the heavenly chorus and all those beings that were made just to praise him and how, what kind of praise they give him. You know, Lucifer was the praise angel, and he was made to praise the Most High. The scripture says, in his body was made of every instrument. Now think about this, a being that is made up of instruments, and he was made to praise the Most High. And so perfect was his praise that he drew a lot of attention, and it caused him to become puffed up and prideful. And then he thought, you know, that when he was praising the Most High, and all the other angels were praising with him, somehow he got confused and thought that they were praising him. And he desired to be above the angels and the servants of the Most High. And he desired to be praised himself. And so he said, I will ascend. And I will be above the stars of the Most High. That's what pride can do to you. And so, you know, he failed. Nevertheless, I can't wait for that day. You know, the voices that some people have in this world to lift up and sing a praise to the Most High, whew, just does something to my spirit. So I can't wait for that day when we hear the heavenly choirs praise the Most High, those beings that were created to praise him. I mean, that's the gift that it would be a gift, or they were specifically created for that purpose. It's got to be something wonderful, something beyond, comparing. The book of Numbers, chapter 32. We stopped on chapter 31 last night. The book of Numbers, chapter 32. Now, on last night in the scriptures, we see where the nation of Israel, the Most High said, go and take out as far as kill the Midianites. Now, again, we know Moses married a Midianite woman. Jethro, his father-in-law, was the high priest of Midian, but he was serving the Most High. But evidently, there were other factions of the Midianites that were worshiping Baal, Peor, and they caused Israel to worship Baal. Now, I am still kind of amazed that our forefathers could be in the, the Most High is in the midst of them, and as soon as they get this opportunity, as soon as the test is brought up, they fail the test, and they start worshiping this other Elohim. They start practicing that religion, and even to the point where this man brings a Midianite woman, and he's going to take her to his tent, and we know the Midianites practice sex as part of their worship service. And so he's going to bring this Midianite woman right in front of Moses, right into his tent, right before the Most High, and he's going to, worship Baal Peor and Eleazar, or it might have been Phinehas, I have to go back and look, runs in and runs this man and this woman through with this spear and kills them. But our forefathers were quick to turn away from the Most High and to, let this flesh take over. And so it's not anything new. From the very beginning, they were doing these things. So he says, now, because the Midianites caused Israel to turn aside, he says, now you're going to go and kill all of them. And they go and they kill, the men of war. They kill the women. They actually start off killing the men of war. And then they save the children, the male children, and they save the women. And then when Moses saw it, Moses was angry with them. He says, weren't you told to kill all these people? And so he has them to kill all the rest of the males, whether they were of war or not, and to every woman that had known a man, that had been with a man. He had them to kill all of them. And they only saved the women that had not been with a man. And so then they divide up. They divide all the spoils of war. And so that's where we left off at on last night. The Most High told us about his feast days and, the sacrifices that were to be made. And, every day they were to sacrifice two lambs, one in the morning and one in the evening, every day of the year. And that would be always, no matter whether it was a high feast day or not, no matter if it was a new moon or not, because those feast days, the Sabbaths and the new moon, and I say that to separate them because the scripture will just, they are his Sabbaths, okay? And if you want to say Sabbath, you want to say holidays, you could do that. But they had significance to the Most High. And in the new moon, they had to sacrifice like 10 animals at the beginning of every month, in addition to, the continual sacrifice of the lamb in the morning and the lamb in the evening. And then for the different feast days, they were to sacrifice different things. And for atonement, it was up to like 13 bullocks, and they would count down until they got back to the normal daily sacrifice. So the feast days of the Most High were very important to him. As I said before, the Most High liked He created the animals for sacrifice to him. You know, we were, at the beginning, we didn't eat flesh. Didn't mean that he said we weren't to eat flesh, but it was after the fall of man. It was after the flood. The Most High said, okay, I'm going to change things up. Because before the flood, the animals had no fear of man, and man had no fear of the animals. Man was not eating animal flesh, and the animals were not eating other animals. It was not until after the flood that this was instituted. And so we see that the Most High created the animals, and clearly, you know, the bullocks and the lambs and the goats were made for his pleasure. And the smell of their fat burning on the altar, the smell of their blood burning on the altar was pleasing. It's a pleasing smell in his nose. And so when we're reading about the sacrifices, those were offerings made to the Most High. And it was a pleasing smell in his nostril. And he says the difference is the sin sacrifice. What was sacrificed for the sins of man? He said, I never intended, never wanted the sacrifice of these animals for your sin. I did it because I needed an atonement for you. I needed to cover your sin for the moment until Messiah comes. But, you know, these sacrifices were for me. And when you wanted to when you wanted to make an offering to me, something that was pleasing to me, then you would make one of these animal sacrifices to the Most High, is what was pleasing to him. But when we had to do it for sin, he said, that stinks to me. It doesn't, you know, it's not pleasing in my nostrils because it's tied to your sin. It's tied to making atonement for you for your disobedience. And so why should my sacrifices have to go, and why should these animals have to lose their life for your disobedience? A difference there. The intent for what the sacrifice is being made for. So, you know, we have to understand this and understand that the Most High never wanted these animals to be losing their lives, because man is an animal in and of itself. And man, you know, we have the reason, we have the ability to reason and to understand, but we are an animal, and we are one of the creations that the Most High put on this planet. But we are created in his image. So there was a difference there. He says, you know, I want you to have my nature. I want you to have and understand how I am. I'm giving you my statutes, my laws, and my commandments, and my judgments, so you will become like me. And I think, you know, a lot of people don't really understand that or don't... don't recognize that his statutes, his laws, his commandments are supposed to make us like him. And so we govern ourselves by his rules. We conduct ourselves by his ordinance and his statutes. And we judge ourselves by his judgments. And where he has not judged that, then we need to go before him or look to see what is the intent and the spirit behind the judgment that comes closest to it. So we are in Numbers chapter 32, and again, there are no particular laws in these chapters that we're about to read, 32, 33, 34, but we are, again, we need to look at, as we read the scriptures, the Most High, Israel, and what has been written is for our benefit, that we might learn about the Most High and how he deals with his people, those that come close to him. So you might look at it as, oh, this is only history. But in the history, you have to also look at, you know, what is the Most High doing with his people, and what is his intent behind why he's doing it? And how does he judge in certain matters? And then we're to take that in because it's telling us about his nature and the way that he looks at things. And that's the purpose for us going through it. So that when we come into the New Testament, we understand that he hasn't changed. He didn't change. He says, you know what? I'm allowing a grace period for you to come back to me the right way. He didn't change anything. He modified some laws. He got rid of the sacrificial animals. I'm going to stop sacrificing these animals for your sin. I came myself into the world and allowed you to sacrifice me, the highest being there is, to pay for all your sins the day you come to me. But once you know right from wrong, you're still accountable for your sins. And those that you do ignorantly, you can bring to me. Those that you know, what you know is wrong and you do it, he said, you're just willfully being disobedient. You know it was wrong, you're going to do it anyway and then try to make an excuse. He said, that doesn't fly. So, you know, we have taken his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his judgments, and we have corrupted them to make it easier on us. But he says, you know, I'm the judge and I'm not going to be changing my standards. And so we ought to, you know, find out what his standards are and adjust ourselves to them. Not try to adjust the Most High to us, but we adjust our standards to his and don't create our own. So Numbers chapter 32, starting in verse 1. And again, we're looking for the character and the nature of the Most High. We're looking at what the people are doing and how the Most High reacts to what they're doing. And so that we understand how he judges in matters, so that, you know, in our own lives, in our own communities, that we live by his standards, okay? Numbers 32, starting in verse 1. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. So that tells us that these lands were pastures, and they had a lot of green grass because, you know, cattle like to graze on grass. And so these lands were good grazing lands. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest and unto the princes of the congregation, saying, Ataroth and Dibon and Jazer and Nimrah and Heshbon and Eliale and Shabam and Nebo and Beon, even the country which Yah smote before the congregation of Israel, is a land of cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Wherefore, said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over the Jordan. So part of Israel is on the other side of the Jordan. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war and you shall sit here? So we have more land to take and we got more warring to do, and you want to take your tribes, your families, and your cattle and sit on this side of the Jordan while we go to war? And wherefore discourage you the heart of the children? Excuse me. And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which I have given them? You want to stay over here and, you know, your numbers, you want to keep out of the war, and you're going to discourage the rest of the nation. Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. So he's saying your fathers did the same thing. They went, they saw who they were coming up against, and they didn't want to go over. For when they went up into the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel, that they should not go into the land which I had given them. So, you know, he's speaking to the nature of and the attitude of the people. When you see something that appears to be too difficult for you. Hey, we got cattle, and the land that we're in is a land made for cattle. You know, let us stay over here with our cattle and not go across the Jordan and fight for the land that Yah has given us. He says, your fathers did the same thing, and this is what caused y'all to wander in the wilderness 40 years. This is what caused everybody that was 20 years old and older to die in the wilderness. And their children inherited. You are the children that inherited. This is what your fathers did. And Yah's anger was kindled the same time, and he swears, saying, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me. Now, this is this passage right here, verse 11. This is the crux of the matter. Even today, because they have not wholly, with everything in them, followed me. Follow the Most High 100%. This is what we have to do. And if we're not willing to do it, he don't want it. If you're trying to give him what you want to give him and not what he asked for, he said, I don't accept it. Your offering is not acceptable. And so we got to understand that this is his nature. What he demands of us is 100% of us, not what we want to give. Not, you know, we see something we think is too difficult, but he's already said, go do this. And we want to say, well, we don't think we can do it. We don't have the means within ourselves. And we got to understand, he said, I'm giving it to you. I'm going to do this for you. You just got to follow what I say. And no matter what you see, understand that I'm going to deliver it into your hands. So everything that we do today, we have to be 100% and follow the Most High 100%. That's why I say when I'm reading the opinions and the understanding of, you know, the old rabbis, as I said, they're just men that studied the law. They were not filled with the Spirit of the Most High. The Bible scholars, they're reading the law and they're studying the Word, but they're not filled with the Spirit of the Most High. And so they're giving their opinions, and what I see common to all of them, they disregard his judgments, and they didn't follow him wholly. They developed their own standards and did not follow what he said 100%. And this is what he wants. And so if we can't see what he's doing, and if we don't believe what he's doing, if we hear a word and we can't see it, we can't, you know, we can't understand it, then we start developing our own opinions and our own understandings and what we are willing to do and not do. And so we have to commit to him 100%. 98% ain't going to do it. 99% ain't going to do it. Every time the Most High asks for something, he says, I want you, all of you, I want you to commit 100% in your service, in your work for me, in your contribution to me. I want you to give yourself 100%. And so, you know, we're busy, you know, and I was guilty of this as well until I knew better. Guilty of, you know, trying to do the things and acquire the things of the world. But the truth of the matter is we are here to fulfill the word of the Most High and to follow him wholly, 100%. So this is with everything. Our lives should be dedicated to the fulfillment of his word. And everything that we do, everything that we obtain is to that end. You know, and I know that when we have been doing other things, it's hard to do. It's hard to It's hard to change your paradigm and your reason for being when, you know, we got children, we got, you know, husbands, we got other family. But your children and your family, your husband, your wife, the world won't save you, won't get you into the kingdom, can't establish your relationship with the Most High. That's why he says we can't love anybody or anything more than we love him, because it will stop us from giving ourselves wholly to him. And so we're looking at his nature through his dealings with Israel. So if we let anything come between that, we will fail. It's just that simple. We will fail. So why go through all of this only to fail? Nobody wants to fail. I know this. I don't want to fail. I don't want to be doing things only to find out, you know, I'm not going to make it because I, you know, I was trying to do too many things. I was trying to satisfy the world and still trying to have a relationship with the Most High. And I was taking the priority and my priorities were misaligned. When he's already told me over and over and over and over and over again through his word, he comes first. Everything else is secondary. And if it will take from him coming first, then you know what? They're just going to have to understand that he comes first. So this is his nature with the nation of Israel. Stop them from going into the promise. He wanted to take them into the promised land within a couple of months of bringing them out of Egypt. So think about it. I bring you out of Egypt. I deliver you from Pharaoh, take you out of slavery, bring you to my mountain to teach you my statutes, my laws, and my commandments, my requirements. And then I'm going to take you into the promised land. It wasn't supposed to be this long, drawn-out procedure. But because of your unbelief, because of your lack of faith, because you kept wanting to look back where you came from, because you were allowing other things to change your focus from me, you didn't worship me and you didn't follow me wholly with everything that you had. You didn't believe on me 100%. And it caused everybody 20 years old and older to die in the wilderness. And it caused you to have to walk around 40 years. We went from a couple of months going into the promised land to 40 years before I would take you in. Now here we are at the doorstep and we're going in. And now we got the same spirit coming up in these two families saying, hey, this land over here is ripe for, you know, what we got cattle, and this is cattle pasture, this is cattle land. Leave us over here and y'all go ahead in. But he's telling us that the real spirit behind them was fear. And they didn't want to go over and fight. We'll stay right here. You know, this land is good for us. So this, you know, the Most High got mad again. Okay. Verse 13 again. And Yah's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years, until all the generations that had done evil in the sight of Yah was consumed. And behold, you are risen up in your father's stead, an increase of sinful men, to augment yet the fierce anger of Yah toward Israel. For you turn away from after him. For if you turn away from after him, he will yet again lead them in the wilderness, and you shall destroy all this people. See what they were going to do? They wanted to stay over here where it was good for them and cause the other tribes, the rest of Israel, to lose faith, to doubt. And then he says, you will cause the rest of the people not to enter into the promised land and walk around. Y'all going to walk around in this wilderness again for you don't know how long. and destroy all of his people. And they came near unto him and said, we will build sheepfolds here for our cattle, cities for our little ones. But we ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel until we have brought them into their place. Now, so these people have repented. They say, hey, okay. We'll build some sheepfolds over here. We'll leave our cattle and our probably the women and the children over here, but we will go, the men of war out of us will go and fight for the children of Israel, okay? But we ourselves will go ready, armed before the children of Israel, until we have brought them into their place. And our little ones shall dwell in a fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return into our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance. So we're not going to discourage by staying over here. We're not going to send a mixed message like we're not with them. This is the land we want. We will build, you know, the cities are already built. So the Most High told Israel when before he brought them into the land that they would inherit cities and houses that they hadn't built. They were already pre-built by somebody else. And so you're going to go take this stuff from them, and you're going to inhabit it, cities that you didn't build. And they're saying, hey, this is what we're going to do. And the Most High was telling the rest of Israel, you're going to go come into a land flowing with milk and honey, and the cities are already there, and we're going to take kill the inhabitants out of those cities. Now, we might think, well, hey, why is he doing that? But he told us previously that the people that were, this is the Most High's land, okay? That's what we got to understand, number one. This is the land that he has separated to himself in the earth. And he said these people that he allowed to be in this land, that they started worshiping other beings. They corrupted themselves. And they are worshiping other gods. And the things that they are doing are an abomination to him. So I'm going to kick them out of my land. Now, I've shown us on previous occasions that the people of the Most High, the people of the Most High are the Egyptian people. And, you know, a lot of people don't want to hear that, but that's in the scripture. And Israel is his inheritance out of the earth, the nation that he chose to raise up to be his priesthood, to bring the gospel and the word of the Most High to the world. And the rest of the nations, in order to enter into his kingdom, they have to come out of their corruption, meaning the worship of other gods, meaning, you know, living unrighteous lives. They have to learn about the Most High and his standards and his ways that all mankind will live by the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. But the people that he first chose, and the people that he blessed, and it was a global society, was the Egyptian society. And they corrupted themselves. And so now he's bringing his people, Israel, his priesthood, into the land. And he said, hey, as my priest, you have to give yourselves 100% to me. How are you going to be my priest? How are you going to be my priesthood and you don't follow me 100%? You're not dedicated to me 100%. You want the blessings and you want me to take out your enemies and you want me to protect you, but you don't want to dedicate yourself to me 100%. I require 100% from you. So these families say, okay, we'll go ahead and go to war. We won't discourage the people so that they won't go to war and take the rest of the inheritance, do what it is that you have told them to do. We don't want to destroy this people. So we're going to leave our wives and our children and our cattle and our sheep over here in this side of the Jordan, in these cities, because it's good land. for what we do, but we're going to go ahead and come to war, and we'll go ahead to be in the front. Because what they had to realize is, what they had to realize is that the Most High had made a promise, okay? And the promise is that I would bring you into this land and give it to you. And if you understand and know that, then you can't die in battle. If your faith is 100% in the Most High, and you are going out before Him, and you know that He has promised you this land, not just to your descendants, but to you personally, then you got to know that He's going to bring you through it. He's going to protect you, and none of you can die, or else His word would have failed. And so we today have to know that. Let's continue. So they want to go ahead and go. We will not return into our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance. For we will not inherit with them on yonder side of the Jordan or forward, because our inheritance is fallen to us on this side, eastward. And Moses said unto them, if you will do this thing, if you will go armed before Yah to war, and will go and and will go all of you armed over Jordan before Yah, until He has driven out His enemies from before Him, and the land be subdued before Yah, then afterwards you shall return and be guiltless before Yah and before Israel. And this land shall be your possession before Yah. But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against Yah, and be sure your sin will find you out. Build your cities for your little ones and folds for your sheep, and do that which has proceeded out of your mouth. Do what you have said you're going to do. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben spake unto Moses, saying, thy servants will do as my Lord commanded. Our little ones, our wives, our flocks, and all our cattle shall be there in the cities of Gilead. But thy servants will pass over, every man armed for war, before Yah to battle, as my Lord or my master said. So concerning them, Moses commanded Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the chief fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel. And just a minute. All right, thank you. Mm-hmm. And Moses, so concerning them, commanded Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun, the chief fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel. And Moses said unto them, if the children of Gad and the children of Reuben will pass with you over Jordan, every man armed to battle, before Yah, the land shall be subdued before you. Then you shall give them the land of Gilead for a possession. But if they will not pass over with you armed, they shall have possessions among you in the land of Canaan. Okay, so they're not going to be able to keep the land that they want if they don't go over and help you. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben answered, saying, as Yah has said unto thy servants, so will we do. We will pass over armed before Yah into the land of Canaan, that the possession of our inheritance on this side of Jordan may be ours. And Moses gave unto them, even to the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, unto the half the tribe of Manasseh, of the son of Joseph, the kingdom of Sihon, king of the Amorites, and the kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, the land which the cities thereof in the coast, even the cities of the country round about. And the children of Gad built Dibon, and Atharoth, and Arior, and Atothroth, and Safon, and Jazir, and Jogbeha, and Beth Nimrah, and Beth Haran, fenced cities, folds for sheep. And the children of Reuben built Heshbon and Elilea and Kirjathaim and Nebo and Baal, Meon, their names being changed, and Shibnah, and gave other names unto the cities which they built. And the children of Machar, the son of Manasseh, went to Gilead and took it and dispossessed the Amorites which was in it. And Moses gave Gilead unto Machar, the son of Manasseh, and he dwelt therein. And Jair, the son of Manasseh, went and took the small towns thereof and called them Havoth Jair. And Nabah went and took Kenath, the villages thereof, and called Nabah after his own name. Numbers chapter 33. So, again, we're looking at what the nation of Israel is doing and how the Most High is dealing with them and how they have to, if they make a commitment, if they make a promise to the Most High, that they have to keep their promise. And they can't, you know, we have to bring that into today. You make a promise to the Most High, you have to keep your promise. We read on the other night that if you make a vow to the Most High, you have to perform every word of it. Every single thing that came out of your mouth, you had to perform it. And if you were a woman in your father's house and you made a vow, if your father heard it and he didn't agree with it, he could cancel it. And if you were a married woman and you made a vow and your husband heard it and he disagreed with it, he could cancel it. And Yah would forgive the woman. You made a vow to me, but your husband or your father doesn't agree with it. So I'm going to cancel it and I'm going to forgive you your vow. But if you were divorced or a widow and you made a vow to the Most High, you had to keep it because you don't have a covering that can cancel it. Okay? So even with the children of Israel coming over, the children of Gad what was the other brother? And Reuben? They said, hey, we'll leave our wives and our children and our cattle, our possessions on this side of the Jordan. This is the possession that we want. But all of our men of war will go over the Jordan and fight until every Hebrew Israelite has gained their possession. Then we'll return to this side of the Jordan, and we won't inherit anything on this side of the Jordan. But the Most High said through Moses, if you don't do this thing, then you won't inherit this land, and your inheritance will be in the land of Canaan on the other side of the Jordan with everybody else. Okay, so you won't be able to keep this land. Numbers chapter 33. These are the journeys of the children of Israel, which went forth out of the land of Egypt with their armies under the hand of Moses and Aaron. And Moses, now, remember, they're not entering to the promised land yet because Moses can't enter into the promised land. So these are the lands around the promised land. And Moses wrote their song, and Moses wrote their goings out according to their journeys by the commandment of Yah. And these are the journeys according to their goings out. And they departed from Ramses in the first month, on the 15th day of the month, first month. On the morrow after the Passover, the children of Israel went out with a high hand in the sight of all the Egyptians. So now we're starting back over, and he's reciting their coming out of Egypt and, their journeys headed toward the promised land. Okay? So this is a history of that. For the Egyptians buried all their firstborn, which Yah had smitten among them, upon their gods. Also Yah executed judgment. Now again, the Most High says to fear him, keep his commandments. He's going to do terrible things. So I want you to imagine wherever you're at. Imagine wherever you're at right now. And you wake up in the morning, and on the news is in every household, there's somebody dead. And it's the firstborn in every household. Somebody's dead. Is that a terrible thing? Yes, it is. That's a lot of death. That means in every house, in every city, at least one person is dead. That's terrible. And the Most High says, you need to fear me because I do terrible things. Somehow today, people don't think that the Most High will do terrible things. So he's recounting this. I killed all the firstborn of Egypt, including Pharaoh's firstborn son. That's a terrible thing. And after the children of Israel removed from Ramesses and pitched in Succoth, they departed from Succoth and pitched in Etham, which is in the edge of the wilderness. And they removed from Etham and turned again unto Pi-Haroth, which is before Baal-Zephon. And they pitched before Migdol. And they departed from before Pi-Haroth and passed through the midst of the sea, or the middle of the sea, into the wilderness. So if we want to know where they crossed the Red Sea, we would have to go back and find in the old maps, if they're, you know, if it's documented, Pi-Haroth, because this is where they went into the wilderness. This is where they went through the sea and went 3 days' journey into the wilderness of Etham and pitched at Marah. And they removed from Marah and came into Elim. And in Elim is where 12 fountains of water and 70 palm trees, and they pitched there. And they removed from Elim and encamped by the Red Sea. And they removed from the Red Sea and encamped in the wilderness of Sin. And they took their journey out of the wilderness of Sin and encamped in Dophkah. And they departed from Dophkah and encamped at Alush. And they removed from Alush and encamped at Rephidim, where there was no water for the people to drink. So, you know, every place that there was no water for them to drink, the people complained, and it was didn't turn out good. And they departed from Rephidim and pitched in the wilderness of Sinai. And they removed from the desert of Sinai and pitched at Kibbaroth Hattaavah. And they departed from Kibbaroth Hattaavah and encamped at Hazeroth. And they departed from Hazeroth and pitched in Rithmah. And they departed from Rithmah and pitched in Ramon Perez. And they departed from Ramon Perez and pitched in Libnah. And they removed from Libnah and pitched in Rishah. And they departed from Rishah and pitched in Kalethahatha. And they went from Kalethahatha and pitched in Mount Shafir. And they removed from Mount Shafir and encamped in Haradah. And they removed from Haradah and pitched in Machpelah. And from Machpelah, they encamped at Tahath. And from Tahath, they pitched at Terah. And they removed from Terah and pitched at Mithkar. And they went from Mithkar and pitched at Hamashna. And they departed from Hamashna and encamped at Harashatah. Now, while reading all this, we have to understand that the Most High had this documented. And he wants us really, at some point, we should go back and, in as much as possible, trace this journey, because the Most High had this recorded for a reason. And they departed from Masharoth and pitched at B'nai Jakath, and they removed from B'nai Jakath and encamped in at Hor Haggadah. And they went from Hor Haggadah and pitched at Jotbathah. And they removed from Jotbathah and encamped at Ibarana. And from Ibarana encamped at Hazan Gibar. And they removed from Hazan Gibar and pitched in the wilderness of Zin, which is Kadesh. And they removed from Kadesh and pitched at Mount Hor in the edge of the land of Edom. And Aaron the high priest went up into the Mount Hor at the commandment of Yah and died there. And the 40th year after the children of Israel went out of the land of Egypt, the first day of the fifth month. Okay, so we're at the point where Aaron, the high priest, is told to go up to Mount Hor and to transfer, the priesthood to Eleazar, his son, and to stay on that mountain and die. And Aaron was 123 years old when he died in Mount Hor. And King Arad, the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south of the land of Canaan, heard of the coming of the children of Israel. And they departed from Mount Hor and pitched at Zalmanah. And they departed from Zalmanah and pitched at Punon. And they departed from Punon and pitched at Oboth. And they departed from Oboth and pitched in Jeabarim, in the border of Moab. And they departed from Lim and pitched at Dibion Gad. And they removed from Dibion Gad and encamped at Almon Dilbathaham. Dilbathaham. And they removed from Almon Dilbathaham and pitched in the mountains of Abiram before Nebo. And they departed from the mountains of Abiram and pitched in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho. And they pitched by Jordan from Beth Jehoshamoth even unto Abel Shittim in the plains of Moab. And Yah spake unto Moses in the plain of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When you are passed over the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all inhabitants of the land before you. Now, again, when we look and read the history, we will find out that this didn't happen. And the Most High left some people in the land, number one, to teach Israel war, because war is important. It has its place. But also to see if they would to continue to follow him or whether they would see something else and go after that. Because, you know, we are very physical creatures. And it seems like this physical, this flesh, this desire to, you know, be with another human being in a sexual way is a very strong driving force in human beings. And so even in a lot of the worship of a lot of the pagan deities involve sexual intercourse. And this is what Israel seemed to always fall for. Today, we see men chasing women, and, you know, no matter what it is, you know, or women chasing men, it is a matter of, it's always a physical thing. We can say it's emotional, but we're really looking for that intimacy. And part of that intimacy is sexual gratification. The Most High made it where this union between a man and a woman is a natural thing. But he's saying, if you are of my people, this can't be your motivation. Yeah, I expect that it's going to happen, and that these are the context in which I want it to happen in. But it never should be part of your worship of me. And this is what a lot of the pagan worships involve. And so, you know, no matter if we are including it in part of the worship or we are consumed with it, because this is what drives us. You know, I got to be with somebody. I love the beauty and the handsomeness of a man or a woman. And, you know, our mind and our thoughts go toward, you know, being with them. And that's our motivation. And then, you know, we want to do some good outside of that. Said, no, that can't be your modus operandi. But you got to first be focused on me. And these are the conditions in which I want you to, you know, come into relationships. Yeah, I want you to have an attraction toward each other. I want you to enter into righteous relationships. And I want you to honor those relationships. And I don't want you just coming together and sleeping around with each other and not be in marital situations, not be in a marriage. And I don't want the sex coming before the marriage, because that is not the way that I want it done. And so these are the things he left them in the land, left some people in the land to see, are you going to follow after me 100% of what I told you? 100% of what I have commanded you? Or are you going to let your own emotions, this desire that's built into the body, are you going to let that rule you? You know, the Most High never said that the relationship between a man and a woman, he never said that there was anything bad concerning it. But what he did say is, you know what, I have built this this desire in you for procreation, and if you are solely into it for the pleasure, that's the wrong reason for it. A man and a wife should be able to have pleasure between themselves. But it should not be the only reason for the relationship. And it shouldn't be ever outside of marriage. Because then it becomes all about that. Okay. So they wanted to see if this is what was going to be in Israel. Verse 51 again. Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you are passed over the Jordan to the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land before you, and destroy all their cities, and destroy all their molten images, and quite pluck down all their high places, all their high places where the altars that they have built on every high hill, on every mountain, in the worship of Baal, and making sacrifices to Baal. It says, tear them all down. That's why when you get into the New Testament, and the woman says, in this mountain, our fathers worship. They weren't supposed to be worshiping in the mountain, in the high place. So even when Messiah came, when Messiah went into the city of Samaria, this woman is testifying that we are still worshiping where? In the high places, in this mountain. But they weren't supposed to be worshiping there. He told them to tear down the high places. And you shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell therein, for I have given it to you, given you the land to possess it. And you shall divide the land by lot for an inheritance among your families. And to the more you shall give, the more inheritance. And to the fewer you shall give less inheritance. So you're not supposed to have a few men ruling over a lot. And a lot of men ruling over little. It should be accordance and it should be fair. And to the fewer give less inheritance. Every man's inheritance shall be in a place where his lot falleth. According to the tribes of your fathers you shall inherit. But if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which you let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in the land wherein you dwell. Moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do unto you as I thought to do unto them. So when the Most High says, drive them out, this is what he meant. And he told Israel, what's the consequences if you don't? They're going to be pricks in your eyes, thorns in your side. They're going to always come against you. They are going to cause you to turn aside and do things that I tell you not to do. You're going to start to worship their gods. And so you're not going to worship me wholly and me only. And I will do to you as I thought to do unto them, because you will have become like them. So, you know, on today, as we close, what I want to say to us is look at how the Most High is dealing with Israel, what he expects of Israel. I expect for you to drive out all that false worship. I expect for you to drive out all the false deities and only worship me. And in our lives today, we cannot make place for any other deity. You know, we might even think that, you know, we might not even think that it's another deity. But like I said, Mother Nature, she's a deity. She don't exist, but she's a deity that men have made up. And they call her Gaia. Okay? And When we give credit to Mother Nature, then it's a form of worship. And we may not see it that way or understand it, but that's what it is. Or when we, you know, entertain Valentine's Day or any of the pagan holidays, because they are all tied to some deity. And this is what we got to understand. When it says a holy day, holiday, holy day, then they might say we're celebrating this for this reason. But when you dig into it and you dig into the root of it, somewhere, somehow, they have tied it to a deity. Even the 4th of July, which is supposed to celebrate the independence of the United States, okay? But in that celebration, it is tied to the Statue of Liberty, the goddess Columbia. That is the Statue of Liberty, the goddess of liberty. And so they tie it to that, and somehow we don't associate. And so we have to learn that, you know what? That's why we stay away from them. And we only keep the statutes, we only keep the feast days that the Most High says. And if the world ties itself to one of the Most High's feast days, then we have to understand what he requires in the feast and make sure that we don't bring anything that the world has tied to his day into our worship, into our understanding. We used to know what it is so that we don't do it. That's why it says, when you come into the land, if you don't drive them all out and you don't tear down their high places and you leave some of them in the land, if you don't obey my voice, then they're going to be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and they're going to cause you to go astray. And so, you know, with the land that the Most High has us buying, I am convinced that we have to all be on one accord. I don't want to hear personal opinion. I want to hear the word of the Most High. I want to hear that we are obeying his voice 100%, that we are living lives to him wholly, wholly to him, and we're not bringing in this stuff from the world. And that we have to learn to separate it so that we don't do it. And that we have to learn to get our own personal opinion out of it. Because, you know, there's some things that we personally think that are personally, you know, we grew up a certain way and we developed some personal opinions concerning some things. But if our personal opinion is contrary to the word of the Most High, then we need to change our opinion to the word of the Most High. And we need to really make it our opinion, our understanding. And so this is following him wholly. And that word wholly is W-H-O-L-L-Y, meaning entirely. It's not meaning like H-O-L-Y, which is to be clean, which is to be sanctified and set apart for his use. So as I said, as we're reading this, we learn more and more about the nature and the character of the Most High by his dealings with Israel and what the people would do and how the Most High would react to them. Now, you know, I'll say this and then we'll close up in prayer. We see all through the scripture, all that we've been reading in the Old Covenant, that the closer you get to the Most High, the faster judgment comes. And he did not take pity. He did not come down and say, repent of your ways. When they messed up, judgment came quick and a lot of people died. And so while we're in this period of grace, we think that the Most High has changed. But he says, I have appointed a day. So you think I've changed? I haven't changed. I'm here forever. And why should I keep killing all of you immediately when I want to see those who really just want to truly serve me? and I'm going to come and judge. And so don't think that, you know, you can be in your foolishness, and because judgment is not coming right away, that you can just do these things and you're going to get away with them. I have given you my standards. I have given you my standards and the means that I'm going to judge by, the protocols, the rules that I'm going to use to judge by. And so when you find yourselves in objection, in being contrary to the rules, the protocols that I have established, and you get judged this way, you won't be able to say that I'm unfair. You won't be able to say that I'm unrighteous, because I have told you, and you didn't want to believe it. You didn't want to bring yourself into subjection. You wanted to live the way you wanted to live and justify yourself. But I change not. And so I'm going to judge the way that I'm going to judge. And yes, I can make exceptions to the rules because I am the judge. And I can look at a certain individual and say, you know what? In their heart, they were right before me. And all of their motives were pure. And I will have mercy on them. But you could also say to a different person, in their heart, they were not right before me. Or they were close, but they didn't make it. And so I think what I see people doing, they want to put themselves in the exception to the rules. They want to put themselves in a position where the Most High has to make them an exception. And, you know, as far as I can see, when we do that, we really are taking our salvation into our own hands and praying that the Most High says, you know what, you're going to be an exception. But I'm here to tell you today that more than likely you will not be the exception. You will fall up under the rule of law. And so, you know, we don't want to look at the exceptions and say that's where we want to put ourselves. We want to try to be as obedient to the Most High as we possibly can. We want to make sure that we are not willfully sinning, that we're doing things that we know are wrong. And then saying, you know, well, the Most High is going to have to forgive me because he don't have to. And the chances are, from what we're reading in the scriptures, he will not. This is something that men have made up. They have taken verses in the scriptures and twisted them out of the nature and the character of the Most High. So don't use the word of Yah to as a reason as your justification not to be right before him. Don't take his mercy and his grace and his love and try to use it against him and say, you know, I'm only human. He's not telling you to do something he didn't believe you can do, that you can't do. He's not telling you to do something he didn't believe you can't do. He's telling you to do these things because it's within us to do it, but we have to decide to do it. We have to commit to it. And the only way that you can do it is to commit wholly with everything. Your focus has to be on him. So we see his character. You know, some people didn't believe the Most High, because everybody 20 years old and higher that didn't believe, you know what? It wasn't even that it was everybody 20 years old and higher that didn't believe. Because he said everyone 20 years old and older except Joshua and Caleb and Moses and Aaron. But everyone else amongst the nation of Israel, 20 years old and older, didn't enter into the promised land. And he says, you know, you caused me to breach my own promise because of your unbelief. You're causing me to break my promise, to break my word. I told you I would bring all of you out of Egypt, and I would bring all of you into the promised land. but because of your unbelief and your disobedience and your murmuring, not one time, but 10 times, you didn't believe me. So now, everybody 20 years old and older, you're not going to enter in, except for these ones right here. All the rest of you, you're going to die in the wilderness, and I'm going to bring your children in. And so we see a family, Gad and Reuben, when it came to going across the Jordan, hey, we want to stay over here. Or you want to cause Israel to fail again, huh? You want to cause people to lose faith again by not sending your men of war over to fight with them. You want to take your possession, and you haven't really had to fight for it. And all the rest, well, you had to fight for it, but all the rest of the nation fought with you. And now you want to stay over here and going to cause them to lose faith. And when they lose faith, the Most High is not going to be with them. He's not going to be with us. And you're going to cause all of us to be destroyed. So, you know, in the land that the Most High has us to purchase, and that we're going to be living and conducting ourselves by the word of the Most High, because I don't believe that we can be in a land that we are free to worship the Most High, as he has said, that we shouldn't be able to do this. And so, and we're going to have to worship him and serve him wholly with everything that we are, with all our substance. And so if people are trying to come and they're not 100% committed, it's going to show and they won't be able to stay, because they will cause the wrath of the Most High to come on us. And that just can't work. So we want to take these same mentalities into what we're doing. And we want to, you know, our faith is in the Most High, and our faith is if we follow him the way he says to follow him, and we only worship in him and him alone that we worship, that we cannot go wrong, and he will be with us. We have to not just believe that, but know that. We have too much word, too much written, not to understand. So that being said, let us bow our heads. Father Yah, Father, we come before you today. Father, we see in your word that you are consistent, and that you want us, bottom line, you want us to follow you wholly in everything that you have said, to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, and your judgments, that we don't supersede you, but that we are convicted to follow you with everything that we are. Father, we are convicted. I am. And I will not walk to the left or to the right, but I will have you to order my steps and to order the steps of your people, that we walk not in our own ways, but in your ways. Even in this land, and we pray that you be with us, that you go before us, that you bless us, and that you protect us, that you provide for us. And where it looks like things are impossible, that we believe on you, that you will make all things possible. That you will make us prosperous, and that we will spread your kingdom throughout all this world, that this is only a beginning, and that should you decide that it is time for the tribulation, that we will be in place where you would have us to be, and that it would be your hand and your hedge around us that would protect us. And should you require our lives, Father, then we will gladly give our lives for your word, for your testimony, for the worship of Messiah. For you have said, if we do this thing, that we have suffered with you, and not for our own selves, but for your word. We believe in you 100%, and we will serve no other, and we will not let man make us walk in fear. We will not let man alter our worship and our service to you. We believe and know that this is your way of life, and you are the highest power. And so we will not let mankind alter how we worship and serve you. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. Now, as we go our separate ways on today, let me play one song and then we're out. Let's see. Praise Yah on today. Praise Him in His sanctuary. Praise Him. Give Him glory and give Him honor.
Is for you. I give you the praise and the glory. You came and you walk in the flesh, an example of love. It is a story. Your words jump at me like a picture. The perfect you are in the scriptures. Your words, they don't change and they don't go void. You are the truth you deliver. Most High, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that.
His angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And remember, I love you. I really do. But I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Happy Sabbath and Shalom, family. Go give the Most High Elohim, spend some time with him and worship him. Make a commitment to him that you will serve him wholly with everything that you are. See you on this evening. I don't have the precept yet, but we will have service. Shalom.
So what can I do?
if I don't have you. It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo, I live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no need. I need a